One of the problems with the question of self-respect and being a nation, an oppressed nation without self-determination, is the double consciousness. Du Bois, you read Souls of Black Folks? You read Black Reconstruction? Du Bois. Read John Brown, the autobiography of John Brown? Du Bois. Dark Waters? Du Bois. The autobiography of W.E.B. Du Bois, the greatest intellectual this country has produced? The man who, at 87 years old, was arrested as an agent of a foreign power? A man at 87 years old with his little three-piece suit and his little Homburg and his little cane, you know, and his little Phi Beta Kappa key, and is walking there, and they said, there goes the most dangerous man in America. An 87-year-old man, the most dangerous man in America. I said, why is he the most dangerous man in America? He said, because he said that America will admit black people on the basis of democracy or America will cease to exist. And you know Du Bois, how quiet, conservative he was. He wasn't threatening anybody. He was like looking out the window saying, you know, it's cloudy out there. It looks like it might rain. What are you saying it's going to rain? Lock this man up. But Du Bois said that the black people in the United States suffer from the double consciousness. Two souls, two identities in one soul struggling for dominance. American or Afro-American? You know you're American, you was born here. But at the same time, you don't have no rights. You're not a citizen. So that you have to think at the same time like an oppressed people, like an oppressed nation. Therein lies that double consciousness. People like Thomas Clarence, for instance, suffer from that double consciousness. That double consciousness. The Colin Powells of the world, the black Caucasians of the world suffer from that double consciousness. If you understand what I'm talking about, the double consciousness. The Spike Lees of the world suffer from that double consciousness to see yourself through the eyes of people that hate you. That's what Du Bois said. That's cold. To see yourself through the eyes of people that hate you, to look at yourself with that mixture of amusement and contempt. Oh, look at them flicks. Funny niggas. Look at that whole wave of new flicks, except for, I guess, Boys in the Hood, but look at the whole wave of them flicks. House Party 1 and 2. Mo' Money. Living Color. All of that garbage, all of that step in, fetch it stuff that's come back on us. Every time there's a revolutionary movement, they bring out minstrel shows. You know that. After the 19th century and Nat Turner and them killing all them people, you understand? Them 200,000 black people with guns that helped free the Afro-American people, what Du Bois called the coming of the Lord. You know, like they say in the Battle Hymn of the Republic, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He says the coming of the Lord with them 200,000 black troops with them guns. That was the coming of the Lord. But after those, they always have to bring out minstrel shows. They rather show you some Negro with his eye rolling around. Like, for instance, after that 19th century, then what do they have to bring out? They have to bring out Birth of a Nation. White people in blackface. Showing you Negroes groveling and cringing. Showing you the Ku Klux Klan led by Jesus Christ. Didn't y'all see that movie? Remember when the Ku Klux Klan came to drive black people back to stop them from voting? They was led by Jesus Christ with a German helmet on. Come on, man, give me a break. God Bless America, a movie signed by Woodrow Wilson, the President of the United States. Oh, yes, yes. Talk about us. We never even want to come here. The sickness of the slave master to justify constantly his slavery. But self-respect requires institutions, ultimately. That is why now we have to constantly retell our history like griots, because we have no institutions. You cannot learn your history here except in those teachers' classes that struggle with you to make you learn your history. And some little poor, silly Negroes walking around, what do I need with some Afro-American studies classes? You need your mind, don't you? Or do you get along better without it? Is it more comfortable with your head empty? Is there less pain? I guess there is less pain, like Fred Douglas said. The minute he learned to read, he was in constant agony. That he walked around the plantation all every day in agony. Why is this going on? What are they doing? Other slaves say, "What's wrong, Fred?" "Got a headache, you know." So the question of self-respect is the question of institutions. And so part of what you all do when you go back to these communities, we hope your work is cut out for you by what does not exist. When you go in those communities where we live, we oppress people, we exploited people, we super exploited people, we blacks, we Latinos. When you go into those neighborhoods, you will see what your work is, because you will see what does not exist. You will see the institutions that do not exist, whether they are economic or legal or cultural. You will see them because they will not exist, and that is your work. It might be political institutions that you need to put together, and absolutely, that's the base we need, political institutions. People talking about revolution and can't even elect a school board president. Talking about revolution and can't even elect a city councilman or a dog catcher. Begin with that kind of clarity, self-respect. And finally, Malcolm talked about self-defense. And people always try to make it the racist and the backward middle-class Negroes always try to make it seem that Malcolm was talking about violence. Malcolm was talking about trying to stop the violence. When Malcolm came on the scene, black people had been lynched for hundreds of years. Lynched. Shot down in the street. Beat up. Dogs had been jumped on us. See Eyes on the Prize, they even got that in there. See the dogs, see the water hoses. See them fat, ignorant sheriffs beating people. See Emmett Till's face bloated. See Cheney, Goodman, and Swerner after they brought him up from the river in Mississippi. Malcolm was talking about that everybody had the right to defend themselves against violence. In 1957, when I was your student's age, it was when the Montgomery bus boycott. And as the bus boycott was coming to a successful conclusion, they blew up Dr. King's house in Montgomery. You all remember that? They blew his house up. And the black people from all over the town showed up with their guns in the air like this, you know. "What shall we do, Dr. King?" "Rifles, pistols." Dr. King got up on the steps and he said, "If any blood is going to be shed, let it be our blood." I said, "I can't go for that." I mean, I was trying to become a poet. You know what I mean? I was interested in reading poetry in beautiful words, in literature, in music. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be a poet. But to tell me that because you are sick, I have to shed my blood, I would say, "Well, let it not be about bloodshed. Let us have an intelligent discussion instead. Let us have a debate. But if it's going to be about bloodshed, then know this, that some of your blood will be shed. And like my father told me, even if a great big old person jump on you, tell him this, you big, you might win, but if you jump on me, your life will be altered forever." 50 years from now, you will be talking about that little nigga you made a mistake jumping on. You understand what? And so the question of self-defense, Malcolm was filling the void, because the black bourgeoisie, the reformists, and Dr. King was a reformist. I love him dearly, but he was a reformist. He believed that black people getting into the system would change it. Just like these the various women who are in bourgeois organizations feel that women getting into the system will change it. It will not. The system must be destroyed. The only thing that will happen with a Colin Powell, does something change in the Joint Chiefs of Staff because Colin Powell is pushing a button? Does something change when the Supreme Court bring back the death penalty because there's a backward Negro up there doing it too? Be serious. It's about your ideology, not just your gender, not just your nationality, about your ideology. And not only about your ideology, but what you do The highest form of knowing is doing. I think that those three things are important: self-determination, self-respect, and self-defense. And for the Afro-American people, it means that we must ultimately hold a plebiscite, that we must put together that united front to hold that national referendum on what our relationship would be to the United States. But it also means that we need an independent mass political party for the United States, a party of people's democracy. I think that in trying to understand national question, national oppression, racism, you first have to understand that we accept no form of racism. I know you know that. Neither word nor deed. These Confederate flags that these people think are funny, you got the right to take them down. These people who want to call you out their name, out of your name, because they think they're protected by the First Amendment, tell them that they might be protected, but their jaw is probably not protected by the First Amendment. Cannot call me out my name. Even the law says those are fighting words. If you call somebody a name that you know will make them fight, they are protected. First Amendment won't protect you there. Accept no racism from nobody, from teachers, from faculty, on the media. You must let these racists know that it is dangerous to their health to be racist. That it's more dangerous to their health to be racist than not. You have to let them know that. I'm not asking you to run around grabbing on to people. I'm just asking you to let them know that racism is detrimental to your sense of well-being and your health. Like I said, Fred Douglas said, find out the exact amount of injustice any people will accept, and you find out the exact amount that they will receive. Check that out. You take three kicks in the behind, you get three. If you say only two, you only get two. Until finally the kicks stop if you force them to stop. And finally, the national question is a class question. There is nothing intrinsically good about being black. There is nothing intrinsically good about being white. Only nationalists think that. If there was something intrinsically good about being black, how did we get Buddha-lazy? If there is something intrinsically good about being white, how do we get Adolf Hitler? The national question is a class question. You understand what I'm saying? They use national oppression so that you can be held lower in the social order, so that you can be exploited, so that you can be robbed, so that your rights can be deprived, so that people can take things from you. It is finally a class question. That is why, for instance, all of these middle-class Negroes, these backward middle-class Negroes, can sympathize with racism because they're getting paid to. There's nothing in no melanin that stops them from being backward. They can be super melanized. Check out Buddha-lazy and Clarence Thomas. They dark as they want to be. They got all the melanin they can ever use. They're all the backward they can ever be too. It is a class question. It is a question finally of whose side you are on. The majority or the minority? And for you white people who want to say, well, you're a separatist. Oh, no, no, I'm a communist, first of all. But I say this. If you want to be on my side, you have to be as pissed off at racism as me. If you want to be fighting on my side, before I could hit him, you would have had to hit him twice. The highest form of knowing is doing. If you want to be my comrade, you have to be as pissed off at racism as I am. You have to be as violent in the destruction of national oppression or gender oppression as we are. Does that seem out of the ordinary to ask? You mean you have to convince your comrade that your struggle is just? That's just a liberal. That ain't no comrade. If I have to convince you that our struggle is just, you're just a liberal. You in no way. The question is, are you committed to transforming this society, like Malcolm says? Do you uphold Malcolm's line of by any means necessary, which he got from David Walker, Henry Highland Garnett? What did they say? Use any means that promises success. Henry Highland Garnett, just that 1830-something. We need not only a black united front for reparations and a referendum on self-determination, but we need an independent mass political party for U.S. people's democracy. That is a transitional form of taking this bourgeois democracy towards socialism, a mixed economy like they're going to have in the East now that they have overthrown the USSR, and now that they have these revisionists in China. Deng Xiaoping, you got the right name, all right, boy. Deng Xiaoping. Mao Zedong used to have him with a dunce hat on his head. And we also need, brothers and sisters, the need for a class analysis of the Afro-American question. There will be now an intensification of class struggle. You are now going to see with the various Negroes in support of our boy, Willie, you're going to see now an intensification of class struggle because they're going to give a few tidbits to these little Negroes. And they're going to explain to you why everything is cool like they're doing around the Haitian question. You see that? Y'all Haitians, you see that already? Slick Willie and the Dancing Negroes. He got these Negroes already. Explain it. Jesse Jackson, Charlie Rangel already. Explain it. Yes, he blah, 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 blah. Talking in tongues. Blah, 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 blah. That's what they will do. That's what they will do. And so the class struggle will intensify. In Newark, for instance, we've had wall-to-wall black people since 1970. We don't have no white people running nothing. 23 years, black mayor, black police chief, black superintendent of school, wall-to-wall blacks in the city council. We did that. Yes, we did that. That was how we learned about neocolonialism. That is how we learned that imperialism could use people that look just like us to kick our ass. All of my sons have been in jail at least twice, demonstrating for black studies in a town run by black people. Demonstrating against police brutality in a town with a black police chief. We helped put him in there. We've all been locked up. I've even locked up my wife once. I think for slapping the superintendent of schools or something like that. A janitor in there saw when she was coming out of the court. Janitor said, what was the sentence? She said, they fined me $25. He said, shit, I would have did it for that. But that's pretty much what I want to say in terms of the movie X. People have asked me about it. I say simply that a year ago I wrote a letter, an open letter, saying that I thought that Spike was going to mess up Malcolm's life, and that's what he did. That's essentially what it was. I had struggled with Spike about his movies. You know, She Gotta Have It. I said, why did a black woman have to jump in and out of beds to struggle for her, you know, equality? And I didn't know no dudes like them three who would sit there. I mean, they definitely came out of the NYU film school. I didn't. School days. Most black people go to black colleges, to Howard and Hampton and Lincoln, Fisk, Tuskegee. You know what I'm saying? Virginia Union, Virginia State, Grambling. That's where most of us go. 90% of us go. I went to Howard. Four of my children, two of them already graduated from Howard. Two more are in Howard right now. We do not think black colleges are just centers for copulation and rock and roll. If it don't be for black colleges, most of us wouldn't be in college. So if you're not going to do a serious analysis, I get off it. Do the Right Thing. That was supposed to be about Howard Beach. These black dudes, one got killed out there by these racists trying to ask for help to fix their car. Instead, you're going to make it about a black community where there's a struggle led by a guy named Bug Out to put photographs in a pizza parlor? Where the Muslim is Radio Raheem, which you stole from Robert Mitchum. You remember that? Knight of the Hunter, love on one hand, hate on the other. Remember they used to wrestle? He would walk through the night singing, lean in. He was trying to kill children. Lean in. You know, so that's why they got Radio Raheem with the boombox. Boom, boom, boom. He's coming through the night with the boombox. You understand what I'm saying?
And then all them Negroes scrambling out in front. You mean you needed that one little middle class Negro to throw the bottle through the window? That black people don't know how to do it. They would have to summon the only Negro in the whole movie that had a job. Nobody else had a job. His sister might have had a job. The rest of them stood around holding their genitals saying MS. Am I right or wrong? Tell me about it. You throw the rock, then you run, and then come back the next day to get paid? No, no. And then kneel down in the dirt and pick up the money. I thought that was instructive as an MF. Get down in the dirt to pick up the money. Is that what it takes, brother? Is that what it takes? And are you telling me that this Radio Raheem was killed because of what? He played his radio too loud? Is that why they killed Yusuf Hawkins? Or Eleanor Bumpus? Or Malcolm X because they played their radio too loud? They were too aggressive with their culture. That rap, oh my God, you got to kill them. It's too loud. I know, which is why everybody is pimping it off it. You know what I mean? Because it's too loud. Or More Bread of Blues. I thought that was the worst film of all. I thought that was really corny. I'm sure you didn't know anything about the music, certainly. What's the moral of that? If you want to be an artist, don't marry a black woman. Or if you marry a black woman, become Ozzy and Harriet. I thought that was interesting. Or Jungle Fever. The white woman had the best lines. You mean you opposed to apartheid in South Africa, but you dig it in the United States? Is that what you're telling me? And tell me, Spike, why did the black woman make all that noise when they was making love? Is that a personal experience or was that a theory of yours? I mean, I saw the white woman didn't make all that noise. You just hoisted her up on the desk. You didn't even take off her clothes. The black woman was butt naked. I guess if you wanted to send the film door below the Mason-Dixon line, you couldn't take the white woman's clothes off. Was that what that was about? I was puzzled about that. And then, of course, I knew that you had showed the white woman's parent, because there was only one white woman in it. You couldn't show the mamas. The both mamas was dead. But you showed the white woman's parent. You showed the white liberal boy's parent. You showed Snipes' parents. One of them actually even shot his junkie son. I guess that was a message to all these Negroes in public office that if our children are hooked on drugs, just blow them away. I don't know. That's what it seemed like to me. And in the end, you're going to tell me you didn't want them children because they mixed up? Your wife was mixed up according to you. Maybe that's why we didn't see a background. But the question, brothers and sisters, I put to Spike was, I know what you're going to do. First, you're going to focus only on Detroit Red and Malcolm's pimping, doping days. That's what you're going to do. Why? Because Warner Brothers loves that. They think, like many racists, that we come out the womb pimping and doping. That we in our mama's womb waiting to mug somebody. The minute we jump through the hole, we got a blackjack in our hand. That's what they think, right? So that for a brother who was raised as the son of two righteous black nationalists, the mother, a West Indian nationalist from Grenada, who convinced the father to become a Garveyite. This Garveyite preacher who was killed by the Ku Klux Klan, whose head was cut off and left on the railroad tracks. Whose mother was driven crazy, the children taken from her. This boy who goes to an integrated school and is told, no, you can't be a lawyer, you have to be a carpenter. This boy who finally comes to be this pimp and dope dealer, we want to know why and how he got to be that. And why spend an hour and 20 minutes on that, brother? An hour and 20 minutes is almost a whole film. And are you telling me that Shorty the pimp was more important to him than Elijah Muhammad? He appears in it more than Elijah Muhammad. Muhammad Ali and Louis Farrakhan don't appear at all. They are the most famous recruits of Malcolm X. Are you going to tell me that the white woman is more important than Betty Shabazz? She appears in the movie more. I would have thought Betty would have said something about that, but one never knows, do one? And are you going to tell me that the FBI killed all of those people all over the world, the Kennedys and the Kings and Lumumbas, but they did not kill Malcolm X? And you're going to tell me that when Malcolm went to Africa, all he did was to look at the Sphinx and the pyramid? You're going to leave out the fact that he went to Egypt to visit Nasser, the great Egyptian revolutionary, that he went to Ghana to see Nkrumah, that he went to Guinea to see Sekou Touré, that he went to Tanzania to see Imwalimo Nyerere, that he went to Nigeria to see Azikiwe, that he went to Kenya to see Kenyatta. Are you going to tell me that the Nation of Islam has so much power that they can keep Malcolm X out of France? Even though the French government now, in memoirs from that time, said the reason they kept Malcolm out of France is because they knew the CIA was going to kill him and they did not want him assassinated on French soil. How wise and slick of the government. How wise, how slick to get a little Negro to tell us. Because Malcolm, as much as I love him, is dead. As much as I follow him and weep for him, he is dead. But who did they want to kill? They want to kill the Nation of Islam. They want to kill Louis Farrakhan. And I am not a Muslim, I am not a nationalist. But the Nation of Islam is in that united front against imperialism, whatever you think of them. And that is who they want to kill. Now they got Spike going up in the jailhouses where the Muslims do their recruiting. It's like somebody came directly out of hell. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm going to leave you with that. I'm going to just end by reading a poem because I am a poet. And I want to read that one poem. I guess that's, I have enough energy to read one poem. But I want to just say the question of the United Front for plebiscite and self-determination, the question of reparations, the question of an independent political party, independent of the Democrats and Republicans, a mass party that must be put together. Those things are important. And for those of us who are revolutionaries, who consider ourselves revolutionaries, we need a revolutionary communist party, a party that can pick up the banner and the baton of revolutionaries all over the world. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'd like to I'd like to end with this poem called I Am. I think that's about it. It's a poem to a brother named Addison Gale, who wrote a book called A Black Aesthetic. This is for people who are struggling for black studies, Latino studies, and women's studies. People struggling for American studies. This is America. We still have English departments. I thought George Washington then won that war, but... It's called I Am, for all of those who struggle for democracy, anti-imperialism. And this is a piece of music by another brother that's gone, Abdullah Buhania, Art Blakey. Do 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 do. We are being told of the greatness of Western civilization. Yet Europe is not the West. Leave England headed west, you arrive in Newark. The West is the New World, not Europe. The West is El Mundo Nuevo, the Pan-American complexity, as diverse as the roots and history of our collection. The West is the Americas, not Europe. It is the America that the homeboy tells the sister we can see, your wife, husband, and children, your mama, your friends, your family, your closest enemies. A West, the quest, the search for humanity still goes on. but of the Euro-white supremacists, the slave masters, conquistadores, destroyers of pharaonic Egypt, Carthage, invaders, destroyers of Moorish Spain, of African and Asian worlds, creators of the Inquisition, Christ killers, murderers of thousands of Christians in the Colosseum, murderers of Spartacus, Vandals, Germans, Ditchmen, Boers, destroyers of Mohadereño, Tenochtitlan, killed Montezuma and Emiliano Zapata, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, even the Kennedys, Bobby Hutton, Fred Hampton, Medgar Evers, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayans, the Taino, the Arawak, conquerors of America, enslaving humanity in cannibal menus, Bushmen living on human flesh as public ritual, ideology of predators and blood-covered claws, murderers of Iraq, would-be destroyers of the ancient Mesopotamian culture. Assassins of Sandino, Toussaint Louverture, Patrice Lumumba, enslavers of women, overthrew mother right, kill Socrates, Copernicus, Lincoln, John Brown and Nat Turner, Amilcar Cabral and David Sebeko, who claim civilization and Christianity and philosophy as crucifiers, who worshipped statues till 300 AD, who destroyed the libraries of Alexandria, the University of Timbuktu, who thought the wind made babies, who say now they are the creators of great civilizations, plagiarists, ignorant imitators, claiming geometry and the lever, which existed 1,000 years before they was even here, whose great minds are thieves like Aristotle, con men like Democritus and Anaximander, whose gods are the vanilla ice of Ethiopian originals, half-dressed cave dwellers painted blue, Anglos knife-wielding, Saxons, sackers, robbers of ancient civilizations, Vikings whose gods were drunk and rowdy, robbers like Conan and Woden, punks like Napoleon, who got run out of Haiti by Toussaint and Dessalines, who got bum-rushed, out of Russia, whacked out racist monsters, shot the nose and mouth off the Sphinx, so sick and anti-life and history were they, who put Mali and Songhai and all Africa in slave ships for money, whose prophets were numbers, not visionaries, life as a low thing, worshippers of minds, not minds, war lovers, not peacemakers, ain't instead of art, death instead of life, dog day best friend, ice and snow, not we and no, blood suckers and motherfuckers, love war so much, call the history of their civilization the cannon, in honor of Marco Polo's trip to China. Should we praise them for Dachau, for the poisoning of David Walker, the genocide of Native Americans, or concentration camps for Japanese Americans? Perhaps 700 years of Irish colonialism, or Gandhi's murder, the conquest of India, the opium wars, TB sheets for Indians, or the Trail of Tears? So how should we praise them? And what should we call them who style themselves God, whose new world order seems old and Miltonic, and that they rule and do not serve? But somehow the term Satan seems too narrow. The word devil is too limiting. But there must be some description, some appropriate horrific we can coin, something that says liar, murderer, maniac, animal! Something that indicates their importance. Thank you very much.